Welcome to the Bentonville Beacon, where we bring you success stories from business leaders and owners about their triumphs and growth in the Bentonville and Northwest Arkansas community. You'll hear about how Bentonville has been the backdrop for incredible growth, not only for businesses and their employees, but in their personal lives as well. Tune in, subscribe, and enjoy hearing about Bentonville, where you get more of what you want and less of what you don't. Welcome back to the Bentonville Beacon Podcast, where we're sharing stories and advice from the entrepreneurs, business executives, and community leaders sparking the rise of the greater Bentonville area, which represents one of the fastest growing and most dynamic cities and economies in the United States and is nestled in the Ozark Mountains of Northwest Arkansas in the heartland of America. Hi, I'm your host, James Bell, and today I am thrilled to welcome to the show my friend and colleague, Ramsey Ball. Ramsey is the dynamic founder of Gray Space Collective, and he is in and of himself a pioneering force in Bentonville. And it's through ventures like Gray Space Collective that Ramsey is making an impact on our community. Today, you'll hear how Gray Space uniquely blends real estate, ventures, hospitality, and nonprofits to catalyze community development and impact investing. Under Ramsey's leadership, Gray Space is taking a bold lead in shaping the cultural and economic landscape of the greater Bentonville area. Today, Ramsey joins us to share the evolution of Gray Space Collective, its impact on our community, and what the future holds. Ramsey, welcome to the Bentonville Beacon.
Well, thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, thrilled to have you here, finally. Let's jump right in, but before we get into Gray Space, I'd love to hear a bit about you and your South Arkansas roots and how it came to be that you got to Northwest Arkansas and to Bentonville to really be a key figure in helping shape the culture and economy of our city and region.
Well, thank you. Yes, I grew up in South Arkansas in Monticello, graduated class of 1976, the Billies down there is our class, and went to school, high school, graduated there, ended up getting my MBA in finance, and went into the real estate business in Little Rock when I went to work for a gentleman named Dixon Flake there, and wonderful mentor and boss for me. I worked with Dixon in various real estate projects, including the J.B. Hunt campus in the late 80s in the design, and would spend time in Lowell coming up to Northwest Arkansas. And that was in around the late 80s. And then in the 90s, I started, I fell in love with the region, started coming up here from Little Rock, and had a place on the square in Fayetteville at the time. Nice. Bentonville was not what it is today. And we always had our company up here when I moved up here in 2003 in the Bentonville market. And but I lived in Fayetteville at the time because of the amenities that were there.
Sure.
It's founded a full service commercial real estate company with Steve Lane. We grew it very quickly and then merged with Colliers International. At that point, out of operations and the management of it, and started focusing on ventures and still working in real estate and working on transactions and developments, but took a dive into really early seed stage ventures, primarily with the Tech Park in Fayetteville, Arkansas Research and Technology Park. And that was just so satisfying for me to do that. I've done a number of ventures since the mid-2000s. Have a lot of investments in companies and help move companies forward with capital raises. Very small at the time. The seed capital market here was non-existent, basically.
Right.
During that time, Bentonville began to really sprout, My wife is an artist and ended up moving to Bentonville in 2014, and best move in my life, I think. It's just such a dynamic region and so much opportunity here. So that's how I got here, and I love being here.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Well, so 10 years in Bentonville.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
I don't know if that's middle of the pack or, you know, it's like, not like I was born here, but, you know, so many people were not born here.
That's
so
right.
Many people have come from different parts of Arkansas and around the country. It's just a wonderful, you know, truly the land of opportunity is up in Northwest Arkansas.
That is true. I mean, to give folks an idea, like 64% of the people who live in Bentonville weren't even born in the state of Arkansas,
mm-hmm.
right? And so you have this really cool mixture of sort of the old folks who are here, not the old folks, but mm-hmm. folks who have been here a mm-hmm. long time and people coming from all over Arkansas, but like you said, all over the country. And it truly is from all over the country and some places around the world. And it's pretty exciting to see this mix of folks.
Oh, it's just transformed. I really started coming up to the market here in about 1990, okay, and mm-hmm. Working on different transactions and deals, and I got to see Bentonville when you could probably at 6 o'clock go out and go to sleep on Main Street and not worry about getting run over, and so it's just been a remarkable transformation, and to be here and to be able to see it and be a part of it is just the best experience I think that almost anyone could have. I'm just lucky, fortunate to be here.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. Can you share, Ramsey, about Grayspace Collective? What's it all about? How did it come about, and what's the focus?
Yeah, so through the years, you know, real estate's has been my core business, but started getting involved in ventures in mid-2000. In raising capital for early stage companies, primarily coming out of the University of Arkansas at that point. So that's evolved for me as a focal area in my life. And then recently, a few years ago, formed a group called High Ground Hospitality, and we're working on hotels and F&B, food and beverage, mm-hmm. acquired a property off the Grand Canyon in Arizona. We'll be heading out there in next week to go visit the property and look at renovations and things like that have been going on. Have a couple of projects in Northwest Arkansas, including a project in Bentonville that we're working on. The other part that's been so important has been the nonprofit side. So I've been involved in nonprofits since my Little Rock days, worked with the United Way of Little Rock and allocating money to agencies and worked up through that process and then ended up chairing the priorities and allocation there with 43 different nonprofits. And so we would determine what their funding was on an annual basis. And some other nonprofits there that I worked with, moved up here and got involved in really the most significant nonprofit that I got involved in to kick all this out was House of Songs.
Mm-hmm.
House of Songs, there was a strategic effort to grow music in the area here in Bentonville. I remember I met with Joe Randall from the Walton Family Foundation, who introduced me to Troy Campbell, the founder. Mm-hmm. And I said, what's your goal? You know, he was looking to grow music. And he said, have live music every night. I said, good luck, you know, at the time, because it was just fragmented. There wasn't a lot there. Also, he said he wanted inexpensive hamburgers and cheap beer downtown.
Sure.
Yeah, because the pricing on some of the restaurants downtown is a little tough for some people. And he introduced me to Troy Campbell. Troy was out of Austin, Texas. Founded House of Songs. He had been seed funded for some projects and it became clear that needed to form a nonprofit to fully maximize House of Songs. Was involved in that effort and putting the nonprofit together. And part of that, out of that you can really trace a lot of the music here back to House of Songs. For instance, Colin Kendrick was on the board, our founding board.
Nice.
He's out of Austin. We have a board that represents Austin and Northwest Arkansas. And he had founded the, I believe, the Austin Music Foundation, and then Sonic Guild, which is another nonprofit that now has a chapter in Northwest Arkansas. And so there was a real shift into music and food. As we continue to evolve, and I have a really good core team at my office, very small. I've managed big groups and I've managed small groups, and we have a really crack team. Two people, Michaela Dietz and Candace Baldwin, and they were, people would ask, what do you do? And so you talk about real estate and you talk about ventures, and you talk about hospitality and nonprofits, and they'd say, well, what do you do? And so we had to kind of frame out what we did. And so Candace and Michaela came up with the name Grayspace as a universe that we operate in to manage assets. And so, and they came up with our logo, which was great. And so what we do is we manage different buckets in asset management. And so there's the real estate, the venture side, the hospitality, but now even more importantly, the nonprofit side. Mm-hmm. And so Grayspace was basically come up with the beginning of last year. Okay. And we had a logo and we had kind of framed it out, and we thought, okay, how do we kickstart this? And so the first thing that we did was to sponsor, we just had a logo, not very much else, but we sponsored Heartland Challenge along with the Chamber.
Yes.
Okay.
That's right.
The after party at Blake Street, and it was our first kind of coming out. We funded that privately. We didn't have a 501c3 at that point. And that evolved. Okay. And so, and now, we've got a 501c3, which we just received our paperwork, and we've got a checking account, and we've got some money in it, and
we're
founding a board. And we have a founding board that we're have a meeting next week. We had a meeting last week to kick all this off, and so that we can get into action. And so action for us will be seed grants to seed and to amplify a lot of things that are going on here. And that could be events. It could be different groups. It could be artists that come out of here that are some of the best here. And we want to, we're trying to work to attract more musical artists and people here. So the best way to do that is to treat artists that come in with, give them a great time, show them a great time mm-hmm. in Bentonville. They become apostles for the town. And, so Grayspace is, you know, focused on really, music, food, art. And then we have, I kind of went off in a tangent with, Triple the Trade.
Okay? Oh, yes.
Which you were very familiar with and yep. involved in. And so, which was a connection to Canada, and which has done great. And so, so out of the Heartland Challenge, actually, I met Albert Baer. He came mm-hmm. in to judge. Okay, he's been doing this for a long time. I think he's the most connected guy in Canada. We've become really good friends, and he's an expert on licensing technology. And out of the Triple the Trade, we've had just wonderful results out of that, and brought businesses here to engage in Northwest Arkansas, leadership there, Ontarian government, and it's absolutely paying dividends now. And we have a lot going on. Albert's coming back for Heartland Challenge, and great. He's also going to be working with other companies here. He'll be here probably 6 to 8 times this year. In Grayspace, we have Baer and Associates on our door. And so we have a landing spot here.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It'll be as U.S. operations.
you know.
I'm going to make sure to claim that on my economic development report. So, well, I really am glad to hear that he's doing that here. Mm-hmm. It's a funny world, you know, when you talk about like in the chamber, what do? We connect, we convene people, we collaborate with them. Mm-hmm. That's the bulk of what we do, especially the connection part. And after I met Albert, I realized there was a company that had that I had met in Sunnyvale through Plug and Play, and then a couple of times here, and they were from Toronto, right? And then they started doing their U.S. operations out of Bentonville. And then I introduced Albert to them, and now he's doing business with them. Like, you had to come all the way to Bentonville to do, I'm sorry, I said Toronto, I meant Ontario.
Toronto.
Ontario. Yeah, that's all the same. Know, sorry, folks, I'm not good with geography today. Yeah. It occurred to me as soon as I said that, it's all the same. But yeah, so there's this Toronto-based company I introduced him to in his own backyard.
It was
a funny world.
Yeah, Toronto, Albert saw the similarities between Ontario, Toronto, and Arkansas, specifically Northwest Arkansas.
Yeah.
And there's just great alignment there. You know, they're much larger than we are, but it's the same kind of culture and spirit there. They have a wonderful government in place that's very supportive of a lot of initiatives. So, and one of the things, we've talked about this before, it's no secret, but we're working to see if there's a possibility of a direct flight between XNA and Toronto. And so, working with the airport now to determine how many people leave here and end up in Toronto, okay, because there's no direct flight, of course, right now. And so studying that, and if the numbers work and we get alignment, then we may have a direct flight. That's we'll see.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, yeah, a little bit more of a long shot, but going for it.
Yeah, that would be pretty amazing. I was just looking at my notes here. I mean, you talked about bringing House of Songs, being part of bringing House of Songs to Bentonville. You're involved in a number of diverse initiatives, really. I think we talked about a little bit. Let's see, you want to create collisions. You had a few C's. Talk about those, what you're trying to do in that.
It's really bringing what you find. And a lot of this came out of a study years ago, 2019, that the Northwest Arkansas Council brought in a group from Austin, Texas, which was an aspirational city at the time. I think we're aiming our sights a little higher now. Okay.
That's
right. In that study, I believe it's called the Edge Report. It's on the council website. I was part of a focus group and different involvement in that when they were taking a look at the region. I gathered everyone up at the end of it, and we're talking about some of the things that their recommendations and things that they observed. But in it, the thing that really struck me was that music and food were the secret sauce in Austin to bring people out of their silos, okay, and mix them up. You mix artists, you mix tech people from different companies, everyone, you know, will go to a show, enjoy music, enjoy food, and it creates an opportunity for breaking down barriers, whatever barriers might be there. We often say culture and colors, between different cultures, different colored people, you know, we have a lot of diversity there, and then companies, you know, confluence of companies or people with companies that come together. And so I heard that and I was thinking, aha, okay, this makes sense, and there's an economic reason to do it also. And so that was really the beginning of thought process on Gray Space Collective specifically.
Excellent. Yeah. I mean, when you bring folks together, I like to call them, you create these random collisions that sort of spark things. Mm-hmm. And when you get people together, they know what to do. We don't have to guide them on what to do, but it's that getting them together and bringing together folks who might not even normally connect because of many times it's just proximity, even in their own town.
Yeah.
In the places where they are. So some of the things you've been working on, Secret Show, your engagement with Fresh Grass. Mm-hmm. There's some other stuff coming up. You want to talk about that more and how that helps with social clustering?
Yeah. So we've been engaged with a lot of stakeholders here in music and economic development. And one thing that's become clear is that we've got a great start to what's going on. And so can we keep it moving forward? In what direction, too?
That's right.
And so there's a real desire to see more things to do, to have more things to do later in the evening. Mm-hmm. So people come here from all over the world, but all over the U.S. and other places in Arkansas, and it's beautiful, okay? And you can now find great opportunities to go out and eat. Of course, the mountain biking and the trail systems and things here are incredible. Job opportunities, of course, are incredible here. Mm-hmm. But what do you do after 9?
Okay? That's right.
And it used to be, what do you do after 6 in Bentonville back in the day? You know,
it's progress.
It is progress. And so one of our key focuses is really to work to really target a 20 to 40-year-old demographic, okay, the future of mm-hmm. this region, and provide, you know, that kind of opportunity really to grow this into a music city, okay, because really the ultimate game. But mm-hmm. For now, it's to have something to do after 9 o'clock, okay? And so we're focused a lot on that, particularly this year.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Excellent. I love it. You talked a number of times or mentioned a couple of times ventures and an impact investments. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about that. Maybe some companies you've invested in. I'm thinking of mm-hmm. one in particular, about Silver Sidekick.
So one of the mantras behind Grayspace and something we've lived for actually since the mid-2000s, what I've been working on is impact investment. And impact investment is, some people call it double bottom line or triple bottom line, and you invest in companies that provide, beyond just potentially profit, okay? And so so impact investment's been an investment thesis for our group, and we do it where we can in real estate and ventures, hospitality, and also in nonprofits. And it's, I call it profit with a purpose, okay? And so an impact investment is actual money that goes into companies. You get a stake in it, or you offer a loan or different vehicles to help companies, but you want to get your money back, okay? And
right.
if you do it right, you get your money back plus a return on top of it. And I'm a big believer in there are opportunities in impact investment to potentially even beat a market return. And so impact investment's been looked down on by a lot of people is, oh, it's money you just, we're putting it in to do good. And that's great. But you want to, if you can, do good and make a strong return. And
that's right.
So that's a focus that we have is to hopefully demonstrate that you can do really good things and make a above market return on your investments.
Yeah, I don't think people realize that there are plenty of opportunities where you can invest to do good, mm-hmm. get a great return, and mm-hmm. do even more good.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty exciting space.
Mm-hmm. So Sober Sidekick.
Yeah.
Okay, is what I think you were referring to earlier.
Absolutely.
And so that is a classic, wonderful impact investment for me in particular. One thing I don't drink, I quit drinking in 2006, and that was part of the original connection to Chris Thompson in California. Plus, I heard that he had this app that was just taking off, right? And so we connected. He was in California. We really remotely worked together as he was processing things, getting into an accelerator there, structuring his company. And then asked Chris to come here for a WeFunder campaign, okay, which was crowdsourced equity. He couldn't present there because he wasn't from Northwest Arkansas, but he could make connections there. So he came here, and we made wonderful connections there. Later that weekend, one of the things we did was we went to the House of Songs for an afternoon performance there, a really neat performance, kind of Austin style, you know, dogs with bandanas on, and it's family friendly, you know, really, really cool. And at that particular event, there were a number of strategic stakeholders there, and introduced Chris to several of them, and he ended up getting a invitation right after that to the Heartland Summit. Okay.
Perfect.
And so the Heartland Summit, you know, it's a wonderful event here. And he came to the Heartland Summit and killed it. Okay. When I say killed it, it was the health portion. A big part of it was on digital tools for behavioral health. And Sober Sidekick is a app that I don't know what the downloads are now. When I was originally doing it, 30,000, 40. I think they're pushing maybe 500,000 now.
That's amazing.
Downloads. Yeah. Very effective. It's not a Facebook group. It's a community in an app that really reduces the chance of relapse. If you come out of rehab, or if you make a decision that you want to pursue a sober life, you know, for one, whatever reason, you know, when you leave a drinking life, or and all of a sudden it's real different. Okay.
You bet.
There's different things to do, and, you know, drinking's not one of them. And so you'll find that you have a lot of time on your hands. Okay. And so, it's one thing, but how do you deal with that? What community do you engage in? He created this wonderful, worldwide community with Sober Sidekick. And related to that, we worked to help fund through impact investment, Sober Sidekick. And Chris received money from American Heart Association, from the Arkansas Community Foundation, and then also investors who were looking for multiples, they can see it, and they wanted, you know, it's a great opportunity to make a very high return on an investment with a company that's scaling like his is. So we worked. Chris worked on it. We supported it. Raised $2 million for Chris, and he's here now. He's moved here and doing great things. And he's for instance, he hired or brought Jordan Carlisle aboard.
Stellar hire.
And he's got a lot of experience. And the company's just doing so well. And that is, for me, the ultimate impact investment, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's does great good for people. It's going to make a lot of money.
Yep.
In doing good. And, you know, and it's not extractive. It's right. Providing really great value for the people that use it.
Excellent. Yeah. And I'll plug real quick. We had him on this show last year.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just a stellar conversation. And so folks should check out that episode with Chris Thompson from Sober Sidekick. I think you'll enjoy it.
Yes.
Let's talk about, Bramsley, will you share a story with me? This is sort of the trademark question on this show. I ask folks to share a hashtag Because Bentonville story, and you must have a ton of them. So you can only share one. You can share two if you'd like, but I'd love to hear a hashtag Because Bentonville story. And that's something that happened where you look back at it and you think, you know, I think that could only happen here, or maybe it describes the essence of our community.
You know, I've heard this region described in many ways, and it used to be, it's blessed, and, you know, different things, which I don't disagree with that. You know, the difference up here is the culture. Okay. And I noticed that when I moved up here, and it's that's what really sucked me in back in the day, was the opportunity and how things were merit-based. It's not your country club kind of environment, mm-hmm. scratch your someone's back, you know, extractive. It's progressive. And so many people that come here feel that same spirit. I don't, you can call it whatever you want, but it's the culture here. And that's a result of a lot of different things. The big companies that are here, their ethos and how they do things, the strategic leadership here is so cool, you know, so key. And so with things like the Bentonville Chamber of Commerce, which, by the way, is, as I've shared before, is my, you know, the best chamber that I've ever been involved with, and so proactive and so good.
Thank you.
But the Northwest Arkansas Council, too. Mm-hmm. So the strategic leadership and providing direction after getting input, okay, so these processes they go through are not, they just conjured up in the offices. You know, they have processes to really get people involved in it. And then they come up with a strategy, and then they execute on the strategy. And so you've seen it with healthcare, you've seen it on music, you've seen it on entrepreneurism, diversity, all elements. And it used to be originally, you know, the council did the airport, you know, supported it, and roads and water, you know, the basics, and then switched over to quality of life and other, you know, areas. And it's just been amazing. So the strategic leadership here is so good. The mindset of the people here is so good. It's very practical in ways, but very accepting of new ideas and thought processes. It's unique, I think, in many ways. I'm sure there are other places like it, maybe Toronto,
maybe
you know, something like that. But there's a certain magic here. Okay.
There certainly is. I've lived all over the country, and mm-hmm. I can't pin a place that I've found that is like this. I can mm-hmm. see pieces in some places, mm-hmm. but not the full combination. And it's really mm-hmm. exciting.
Mm-hmm.
As we make the turn toward, if we were playing baseball, we'd call this the turn at third base.
Mm-hmm.
So as we start wrapping up and looking toward home in this episode, my wife gave me a question to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
She says that, and I agree with her, that every time she sees you somewhere, even if you're just walking down the road, you look like the happiest man alive. You've got a big grin on your face. Like, just that moment is the happiest moment you've ever been in. And so my wife wants to know, what's the secret to happiness?
That's a good question. I think that purpose, good purpose, is the foundation for happiness. And our purpose is community development. And so I really think is the key, you know. And there are other tools that I use for trying to, through the years, have developed to deal with problems, anger, you know, things like that, where now, you know, those things don't bother me.
Excellent.
And the reason, you know, you find out if things bug you and you dig into them, you get angry, it doesn't help you or doesn't help anyone. You can, you know, just say that's life, okay, mm-hmm. and it needs to be dealt with. And there are a lot of good people up here and people on my team. So the problems, you know, kind of go away as far as, the problems are there, but how you deal right. with them So I really think purpose is the key to happiness.
I love it. I have sort of a whimsical question for you.
Mm-hmm.
I always like to ask these questions to sort of get in the minds of the people I'm talking mm-hmm. with a little bit more and learn how they mm-hmm. think, but sort of customize them for them too. And so this question is, you know, that instruments can be really powerful. They're powerful tools for change, much like Grace-Based Collective. What musical instrument do you think symbolizes Grace Space's transformative impact on Bentonville?
Well, that's a good question. I played bass in high school, and then couldn't read music. They told me to turn it down most of the time. And so that's really the extent of my music experience as far as any kind of instruments. And, I think up here, I think it's more like an orchestra. Okay. Or a single instrument is not the key. It's the grouping of instruments. It could be a quartet, a symphony. It could be, rock and roll band or reggae band or, whatever, you know, but, the bands are the key, the music makers. And then there's all sorts of pieces to that, from the songwriting to playing the instruments. There's a great band up here. Okay. Right now, all the pieces are here. So I'm going to go with, orchestra.
Yeah, I like it. The whole darn thing. That makes sense, actually.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. Ramsey, what other things do you have in mind? We've talked a lot about a lot of projects and initiatives that you've been involved in. Are there any that are missing that we haven't talked about before we wrap up with the last couple of questions?
Dancing.
Ah.
So one of the things that's come on my radar recently is we've been thinking about music and food and art. Art's a big part of it too. But then recently got to go to some dance events, scout them out for Gray Space. I'm not a dancer, even though I might take some lessons, and really, really neat some of the things that are going on. And so we see that as when I've been to these events, how many different people are there, all types, persuasions, whatever you want to call it, you know, and everyone's having just a great time. And that's a connector, bringing people together. And in some of the dance bachata class, for instance, there might be 50 people and you're taking a class and you do steps for someone, then you go to the next person and you go to the next person. And pretty quick, you get to say, "Hi, I'm Ramsey," and then they start the music, and you try to figure out what you're supposed to do. You know, kind of.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and so I think dancing is, if you're looking in, one of the things to bring people together is going to be key. So
excellent. Well, my wife will like that. She will try to drag me there, and I guess I'll go with all three of my left feet.
Oh.
Two questions left for you, Ramsey.
Okay.
The first one is, if an audience member wants to reach you or get to know more about Gray Space Collective, how do they do that?
Call or text me. Perfect. It's 479-640-6405.
Excellent.
And maybe better with the, if I don't recognize a number, I might not pick up on it. Go to voicemail and I'll check it out, get back. Text always works. And so, 479-640-6405. And just reach out.
There you have it. Mm-hmm. That was easy. Last question. What's something I should have asked you that I did not ask?
Oh, I can't think of it, James, quite frankly. You've asked, I think, the questions that are relevant to what we're doing. No, you've done a great job. I can't. You've covered the bases for me. So thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Ramsey, thank you. I mean, your insights have really showcased how, you know, you think and what you're doing at Gray Space Collective and how you are using this innovative blend of real estate, venture, of hospitality and nonprofits to, I think, significantly shape social clustering and help continue pushing Bentonville and Northwest Arkansas forward. So I really appreciate that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you having me here. And the chamber is such a big part of this, I can't tell you.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that.
Really, really. I've got to experience that. So just keep it up.
Well, thank you. And you've been very supportive of the chamber. And so we really appreciate that as well.
All right.
Thank you. Hey, to our Bentonville Beacon audience, thank you for joining us and for being part of this inspiring conversation. This podcast is brought to you by the Greater Bentonville Area Chamber of Commerce, where I serve as Vice President for Economic Development. And this episode, like all of our stories, is a testament to the dynamic spirit driving Bentonville and Northwest Arkansas forward. So remember to share this episode with those who appreciate the intersection of community, creativity, and growth. And whether you're watching on BentonvilleBeacon.com or YouTube or listening on your favorite podcast player, go ahead and hit that subscribe button to stay updated with our latest conversations, which celebrate the people and ideas lighting up our community. Until our next journey into the stories shaping Bentonville, keep embracing the innovations and connections that make our community a beacon of progress and inspiration. See you on the next episode.